Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Today we discuss perhaps the most difficult question in Christian theology, namely, why does a good God, an omnipotent, all-powerful God, permit such suffering on earth? I think of a dear Christian lady by the name of Fran. Oh, she suffered so before she died. I think of a younger man by the name of Greg, for 2 years went through intense suffering. Well, why, Lord? You know, somebody might say, well, the problem with Fran and Greg, if they had enough faith, God would heal them. I think that is shallow. Or, well, their problem is they have some secret sin they're committing, and that's why they're being punished. No, that is shallow. All of this leads to a man who lived thousands of years ago by the name of Job. The Bible says Job was a righteous man, and boy, did he get hit with suffering. Nothing was wrong with Job's faith, but wow, he went through it. So what I want to do on this program, I want to tell you the story of Job and then learn lessons from his life for our lives. Let's pray first. Father, we pray for anyone watching this program right now who is suffering physically, mentally, emotionally, suffering in their marriage, in their relationships. Lord, we would pray that the Holy Spirit now would come and help us make sense of our sufferings. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the story of Job. One day God was in his throne room, sitting on his throne. The angels come in the room, and Satan comes in with the angels. And God says, Satan, have you considered my servant Job down on earth, a righteous man who fears me and turns away from evil? And Satan says, well, of course he does, God. You pay him well. Look how rich he is. But you take away his possessions, and Job will curse you to your face. And God says, okay, Job, you can touch his possessions, but you can't touch him. Satan goes and he destroys Job's cattle and his crops and his camels and his oxen. And then Satan kills all of Job's children. And Job says, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Scene 2. God is back in his throne room. Satan comes in again. And God says, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? You moved me against him without cause, and he still maintained his integrity. And Satan says, well, yeah, but you didn't let me touch him. You let me touch him, and he will curse you. And God says, okay, Satan, you can touch his body, but you can't take his life. And Satan goes, and he strikes Job with boils from head to toe, horrible pain. And Job's wife comes out and says, Job, why don't you curse God and die? And Job says, woman, you speak as a foolish person. Shall we accept good from the hand of the Lord and not also bad? And then Job's three friends show up and the book unfolds. At the very end of the book, Job gets back twice of all that was taken away. Let's go now and learn for our own lives from that story. Would you take out your Bible, turn in the Old Testament to the book of Job, Job chapter 1, starting at verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. First lesson I want us to get for our own lives, it is smart to fear God. Job feared God. Proverbs chapter 1 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you know what I think is the number one problem with America? We don't fear God anymore. Do you know, since 1973, get this, we have killed 62 million unborn children. We don't fear God in America. And even more tragically, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Episcopal Church in America, the United Church of Christ, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, these denominations pay for abortions with offering dollars in their church's denominational health care plan. I mean, not only does America not fear God anymore, whole sections of the church don't fear God anymore. I mean, another sign of that, when I was a little boy, you'd hear on a rare occasion, oh my God, and it wouldn't even be on TV. But then in the 70s, they started putting it on TV, and now all the time you hear, oh my God, it's just a sign that we don't fear God anymore. Look at verse 2. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to Job. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 cattle, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. And they would send and invite there the 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it came about when the days of feasting and completed their cycle, that Job would send and consecrate his children, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offering according to the number of his children. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. Here's the next lesson from the life of Job. Care for your children's souls. The most important thing for Job was his children's souls. I don't understand parents that'll run to get Jimmy to hockey practice and Susie to dance lessons, but they don't take them to church. Listen, put your children's souls way above their athletic or dancing abilities. Go to church every week with your kids. Pray with your kids regularly at night. Read them Bible stories. Just Job cared for his children's souls. Verse 6, we're going to get a rare glimpse now of what goes on up in heaven. Verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God, probably the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. Here's the next lesson. Satan is not in hell yet. A lot of people think Satan is down in hell ruling things. No, Satan does not get thrown into hell until the last day, and it never says he rules anything. I think Satan will be on the lowest rung. So where is Satan right now? According to this verse, according to 1 Peter 5 as well, Satan right now is roaming the earth like a lion looking for somebody to devour. Verse 8. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Here's the next lesson. We are on a cosmic stage. It looks like from this verse, the angels in heaven can see what's going on down on earth. I'm not saying your dead loved ones can. I don't know of any verse that would say that. But it looks like the angels can see what goes down on earth. One commentator said this, the primary purpose of Job's suffering, though unknown to him, was that he should stand before men and angels as a trophy of the saving might of God. In other words, the reason Job suffered on earth was to prove something in heaven of which he was unconscious. I want to ask you to pray for a man named Kent. Kent has been on the board of this ministry for 11 years, wonderful Christian man, healthy as he can be, and boom, in a coma, a stroke, and he's not expected to make it. This has thrown all of us for a loop. He's one of my best friends, and he loves the Lord. God, what is going on? Well, I don't know what's going on, but maybe something is happening in the heavenlies that we don't know about. Pray for Kent. Look at verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord, Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he owns. He will surely curse you to your face. Here's the next lesson. Satan's goal is to get you to curse God. One reason I don't have cable TV in my house, I hate it when Hollywood uses Jesus Christ as a swear word, which they do regularly. So I don't have cable in my house. Now, I just have regular over-the-air antenna. There's a certain national network now that is using Jesus Christ as a swear word. They won't bleep it. I've written them. Satan's goal is to get you to curse the name of Christ. Look at verse 12. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that Job has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Here's the next lesson. Satan must first get permission. An old white-haired Lutheran pastor said this maybe 40 years ago now. He said, "Nothing can enter the life of a child of God unless it first goes before the throne to get permission." Let me repeat that. Nothing can happen to you unless it goes before the throne of God to get permission. So now Satan has his permission slip, and he's going to drop four bombs on Job. Bomb number one, look at verse 13. "Now it happened on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house that a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked them and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" Bomb two. "While he was still speaking, another came and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven,'" it's probably lightning, "'and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" Bomb three. "While he was still speaking, another also came. 'The Chaldeans formed bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" And the big bomb, bomb four. "And while he was speaking, another came also and said, 'Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness, struck the four corners of the house. It fell on the young people, and they died, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" Here's the next lesson. Satan attacks your family. If you're going to be like Job and follow the Lord, Satan can attack your family. There's an old Far Side cartoon of two deer standing up in the forest. One of the deer has a big target on his chest, and the other deer says, "Bummer of a birthmark, Hal." Well, if you're a follower of Christ, Satan targets you and your family, which is why it's so important for you to pray for your pastor, pray for your elders and the deacons in your church, pray for people that are serving the Lord, that God will protect them, their families. Verse 20. "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped." Now this verse and the next verse is going to show us the four things we need to do when we're suffering. Number one, you worship. Job fell on his ground and he worshiped. I remember a dear Christian woman who suffered for many years from lupus. And I remember one day she said, "You know, Tom, some days I'm in such suffering, I can't even pray. All I do is lay in bed and say, 'Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.'" When you're suffering, worship. Turn on Christian radio. You know what I like to do when I'm sad and suffering? I like to sing to myself and out loud to the Lord one of the old sad hymns, like, "Come ye disconsolate, where'er ye languish, come to the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded hearts, here tell your anguish. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. First thing you do when you're suffering, you worship. Second thing Job did, look at verse 21. He worshiped and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there." The second thing Job did, you lower your expectations. Job says, "Look, I came into the world naked. I'm going out naked." I think people that have high expectations of life get hurt a lot. If you lower your expectations, you don't get hurt so much. I think of that Fran that I talked about. When she was going through it, she says to me, "You know, Tom, my body is falling apart. I just have to accept that." I think that was her way of lowering expectations. Third, so you worship, you lower your expectations. Third thing to do when you're suffering, verse 21, Job says, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away." He doesn't say Satan. "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away." So the next thing you do when you're suffering, you worship, you lower your expectations. Third thing, you trust that God is in control. When Satan is barking at you and biting in your life and hitting you with bad stuff, you got to remember, okay, but he can only do this by God's permission for some better reason for me, Romans 8:28. And then the last thing you do when you're suffering, Job says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." When you're suffering, the last thing you do, you praise him, you lower your expectations, you trust he's still in control, and then you bless him. Something beautiful happens in this verse. Do you remember what Satan was trying to get Job to do? "God, let me get him and he'll curse you to your face." And what does Job do? He does the opposite. He blesses God. And that says to me, whenever the devil tells you to do something, do the opposite. Jesus called Satan the father of lies. So when Satan tells you to do something or the TV set tells you to do something, often you're safe if you do the opposite. While I was working on this very sermon yesterday, the TV was on in the background. My least favorite TV show, The View. And all five women were ranting in favor of abortion rights. Not one woman was pro-life, monolithically ranting in favor of abortion rights. But can I say this? Whatever they tell you to do on The View, do the opposite. So when you're suffering, you try to worship the Lord. You lower your expectations. You trust God is still in control. And you bless him. Job 1:22, "Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God." That's round one. Now round two. Here we go. Chapter 2, verse 1. "Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' And Satan answered the Lord, 'From roaming around the earth and walking on it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you, Satan, incited him against me to ruin him without cause.'" I want you to hear the words "without cause" there. There's the next lesson. There is not always a cause for suffering. You know, here's a lady at a funeral. "Oh, Pastor Tom, what sin did I commit that my husband died?" And I tried to tell her, you know, we live in a fallen universe. Everybody's going to die. You know, you probably didn't do anything. It's just the way things are. One commentator said this: "Satan tormented Job not because of his sin, but because of his sinlessness. Job's trial was not for his sin, but for his sinlessness, in order that God might prove and establish Job before the hosts of heaven." I mean, do you understand that? Sometimes you suffer not because you did something wrong, but because you did something right. And God is proving things in the heavenlies that we don't know about. Verse 4. "And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and flesh, and Job will curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your power, only spare his life. Here's the next lesson. God holds Satan's leash. In the book of Job, Satan is a dog on a leash. And in chapter 1, okay, Satan, you can touch his possessions, but you can't touch him. Chapter 2, okay, Job, you can touch his body, but you can't take his life. I take comfort in the fact that God is in control of the devil for my good, Romans 8:28. Verse 7. So Satan went out and from the presence of the Lord, and he smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, and Job took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. And his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. Here's the next lesson. Satan attacks through our families. I mean, whose side is this wife on trying to get Job to curse God? She's on the devil's side. And Chrysostom, writing way back in the 400s, said this. Why didn't Satan destroy Job's wife in chapter 1 like he destroyed the rest of his family? It was so in chapter 2, Satan could use her as a tool to try to tempt Job. Point is, if Satan can't get to you, sometimes he tries to get to you through your family. Verse 10, but Job said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept bad or adversity or evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now look at verse 10 and answer this question. Where does God see the bad coming from? Not Satan. He says God. So here's the next lesson. Job sees God in control of good and bad. Now, this is hard for people to believe, but what did God say to Moses at the burning bush? Exodus 4. Moses, who makes man deaf or dumb, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Not the devil. Is it not I, the Lord? And then God says in Deuteronomy 32, see now that I am he. There is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I wound and I heal, and no one is able to deliver out of my hand. In other words, God controls all things, even the bad things. I have a good friend who's a pastor, and he has his first grandchild. And the child dies in infancy. And this pastor says to me, I assured my son that God had nothing to do with this. And I said, I want God to have something to do with this. I don't want to think chance or the devil or luck is ruling the universe. I want to believe God is ruling the universe, even awful things, for my good, Romans 8:28. And I said to him, you don't know what suffering God might have been sparing that little grandbaby. We don't know. Verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all the adversity that had come upon Job, they each came from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite, and they made an appointment together to come to sympathize with Job and comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes at a distance and did not recognize him, they raised their voices and wept. And each one of them tore his robe, and they threw dust over their heads toward the sky. Then they came, sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights without speaking a word to him. And they saw that his pain was very great. Here's the last lesson today. When someone is suffering, don't preach. The problem with the rest of the book of Job, the three friends are going to be preaching at him. No, their wisdom was at the beginning. When they saw his suffering, they were just quiet. I learned this in seminary. When somebody is suffering, you don't preach. You're just there for them. You're quiet. When my pastor friend told me about the death of his grandchild, okay, I preached a little bit. But most of the time, I just listened to him and heard him out. All right, back to the original hard question. Why does a good God, an omnipotent, almighty God, permit so much suffering? I have a friend who's kind of a Bible scholar. I asked him that, and his response was, God does all things to drive us to Christ. I think that's a good answer. But I think I would add a little to that, and I'd say, and according to the book of Job, sometimes God does things to us because things are happening in the heavenlies that we don't know about. And I'm going to close with this. There was a mine collapse in Wales, England, in the early 1900s. The bishop was asked to come to do the mass funeral. 200 men died. And he said, it looks like God has made a horrible mistake. And he said, in my Bible at home is a bookmark embroidered for me by my mother. And he said, if you look at that bookmark from the wrong side, it looks like a mistake, a tangled mess of threads. But if you turn it over, you'll see beautifully embroidered the words, God is love. And he said to the mourners, we're looking at this from the wrong side. One day, we'll see things from the other side and understand. That is the teaching of the book of Job. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the pastor's study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, what do you think of the book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People?
That was written by Rabbi Kushner years ago. I don't like the title, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Jesus said there are no good people. Mm-hmm. The book should be called Why Do Good Things Happen to Bad People, because we're all sinners. Now, when we talked about Job, it says Job was righteous. That doesn't mean he was sinless. It means he generally was a righteous person by human comparisons. But he needed Christ as much as we do. Mm-hmm. So I don't like that book title.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I am suffering, how do I know whether God is punishing me or not?
Sometimes there is a correlation. Oftentimes there's not. If your husband dies, it doesn't mean God's punishing you. But if I get rip-roaring drunk tonight and I get a hangover tomorrow morning, there's a connection between my sickness and my sin. So there you go.
Okay. Well, Pastor Brock, do you have a quick update for the people today?
Well, everybody. We just thank you. Everybody, we get so much good mail and emails. It's almost all positive. We get negative stuff periodically, but just we thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your support. You can see our address in a minute, or people support us by going to our website. But you can watch all of our TV shows at our website for free. So see you next time.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.